Thank you, Bill. We appreciate that. Great job. I don't know. I don't care what you say. Bill King's one talented individual. Amen. He can do it all. We appreciate Bill and his faithfulness. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I want to mention as you're turning that there's one event that we didn't get on the Wednesday night news this evening. It'll be in the bulletin Sunday, but the Rome Area Prayer Breakfast is going to be taking place a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. It's at the fairgrounds. That's an annual event, as you probably know. Big event. They have breakfast and then time of prayer and speaker. Actually having two speakers, two gentlemen that are going to be there this year. We do have tickets for that. We have sponsored a table. And if you would like to go to that, please see me tonight, if possible, and I can get you a ticket for that event. Rome Area Prayer Breakfast a week from tomorrow, and we will have a table, and tickets are available for that. All right? Luke 24, I'm going to mention that. If you would also turn to 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to go there during the body of the message. So just put your bulletin in there or your Wednesday night news in there and mark that place for a little later. Luke 24, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, but we'll actually look at the whole chapter. This is the fourth message in our series, four-part series entitled Common Questions About Jesus Christ. We looked at the question, is Jesus really the Son of God? We looked at the question, was Jesus more than just a good person? And last week, we answered the question, did Jesus really die? So tonight's our fourth in that series, Luke 24. Let's look at verse 1 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for every person here. Give me the words to say. Forgive me of my sins and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Elvis Presley was known as the king of rock and roll. If you were an Elvis Presley fan, I've got great news. I read an article that said Elvis did not actually die. He is alive and living in a seven-story underground building that is located under his Graceland mansion. Michael Jackson was known, some of y'all believe that, you're nodding in agreement, aren't you? Michael Jackson was known as the king of pop. And if you were a Michael Jackson fan, I've got great news for you too. Michael Jackson is alive, and he has moved in with Elvis in his seven-story underground building. I'm not telling that as a joke. That's supposed to be true. Because there are, after many years after the death of Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson, yes, there are those that still believe both of them are still alive. Tonight, as I said, in our fourth message in this sermon series, we're going to look at the question, is Jesus alive? Is Jesus alive? Three things in this passage, or actually three things in this chapter, we're going to look at here as we ponder that question, is Jesus alive? Number one, first of all, let's talk about his appearances. Notice his appearances. For this first point, look at verse 1 through 6. Now that we've got to the body, read that with me again. Now the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, notice this, bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. We've looked in our previous lessons and talked about the fact that Jesus was crucified on a cross. And the Bible says that a man named Joseph from Arimathea was granted permission to take down the body of Jesus from that cross. And Joseph of Arimathea and a man named Nicodemus prepared the body of Jesus for burial. And then the body of Jesus was placed in a tomb that actually belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, and a large stone, or better described, a boulder, if you will, was rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. And so there were these women that wanted to also prepare the body of Jesus for burial. After the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross, after he died, this group of women, several women, went to their home with the intent of getting spices and oil and linen and cloth and the things necessary to prepare a body for burial. So they all go home to get these items, and they're going to meet back and go prepare the body of Jesus. Now, a footnote. Now, I don't know if they didn't think Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did a good enough job, or they didn't realize that it had already been done, but these women were going to further prepare the body of Jesus. Now, bear in mind, understand that the Old Testament Mosaic Jewish law forbid a body to be prepared for burial on the Sabbath. Now, remember, all my Bible scholars, of course, what day was Jesus crucified? On a Friday. Died on Friday afternoon, let's say. Now, the Sabbath began on Friday night. The Sabbath began on Friday night and lasted until Saturday night. 24-hour period. So these women go home to get these items to prepare the body of Jesus, and the Sabbath begins. They didn't get back in time. It's Friday night, and so they're forbidden from going to actually prepare the body of Jesus. So that meant they actually had to wait till the Sabbath is over. And when would that be? They ended up, therefore, having to go to the tomb where Jesus was buried on Sunday morning. And their intent was to go there and, as I said, prepare the body of Jesus, apply these spices and oils and so forth to the body of Jesus. So it says here, when the women arrive at the tomb, they discover the tomb to be empty. Jesus has been raised from the dead. It is announced to them that he is no longer there, that he is risen. And after this resurrection, the Bible tells us that Jesus was seen by witnesses on 10 separate occasions. And I want to go through these 10 appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. Tonight's lesson is very practical, and we're just going to look at these things here about Jesus after the resurrection. Let me go through these for you. If you want to take notes, I'm going to give you the appearance and where it's found in Scripture. Number one, he appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. That is found in Mark 16 and John 20. Number two, he appeared to this group of women. Found in Matthew 28. Number three, he appeared to the two men on the road to Emmaus. That's one of my personal favorite. I love that story. The appearance of Jesus to these two men on the road to Emmaus. That is in this chapter, beginning in verse 13, going through verse 32. In this chapter, verse 34 tells us that he appeared to the apostle Peter. That's number four. Number five, he appeared to 10 of the 11 disciples. Thomas was absent at this appearance. Thomas was missing. That is in Mark 16 and James 20. Then number six, 8 days later, Jesus appeared to 11 disciples and Thomas was there. That's also in John 20. Number seven, you may remember this story. Jesus appeared to seven disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's found in John 21. And then number eight, this again is one of my favorite. I love this. 1 Corinthians 15:6 tells us that Jesus appeared to more than 500 followers. Man, wouldn't you like to have been there for that? I bet they had church, amen? So number nine, 1 Corinthians 15:7 says that Jesus appeared to James. And number 10, Acts chapter 1 tells us that he was seen by the apostles when he ascended into heaven. So we learn here there are many witnesses that actually saw Jesus after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So I want you to hold your place here in Luke 24, and let's go now over to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to park there and talk about this concept of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. This chapter is the longest passage of Scripture. It actually takes the whole chapter. It's the longest passage in Scripture that deals with this topic of the resurrection. We know, of course, that this letter is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Corinth. So bear in mind that Paul is writing to church folks. And there are folks, there are people, it had been reported, that do not believe in the resurrection. And so Paul, within this letter, addresses the issue of the resurrection. Look at verse 12. Notice this, I love this passage. He's already been addressed Christ's resurrection, and he says now, verse 12, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is also in vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiful. Listen, if there is no resurrection, Paul says, then what? Then Jesus is still in that grave. The resurrection is the basic fundamental fact of the good news of the gospel. If there was no resurrection, then there is no risen Savior. If there is no risen Savior, then there is no salvation. Our faith would be baseless here. It would be futile. There would be no point in it if there is no risen Savior, if there is no resurrection. Listen to me. Faith in a dead Savior defies logic. We might as well turn out the lights, lock the doors, and go home and not come back if there is no resurrection. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, Paul says, then we are still in our sins with no forgiveness. And that last verse is so good. And life would be very miserable. I heard a news story. It's been on the news recently. I actually saw it online, but I think it's been told on TV. I actually saw where it's been told around the country. But it's happening in Metro Atlanta. The story is that there are car thieves or carjackers in Metro Atlanta that are putting fake $100 bills on the windshield of random cars in random parking lots. And the police are saying that they believe the motive behind this is that there are car thieves that are putting these fake $100 bills under the windshield wiper of your car. The owner of the car then comes out, gets in the car, cranks it up, and is about to leave and sees that fake $100 bill and stops and gets out to get that fake $100 bill. And that's when the car thieves jump, come out from hiding, if you will, and overtake the person and steal their car. All because of a fake $100 bill. Listen, anybody that puts their faith in anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is being deceived and tricked by a false, fake religion. Amen? Jesus is alive and well. That is the basis of Christianity. That is the basis of our faith. And we see here, after his resurrection, he was seen by many witnesses. So, number one, first of all, we see his appearances. Now let's flip back to Luke 24. Go back to our original chapter there, Luke 24. And notice number two, his announcement. Number one, his appearances. Number two, notice his announcement. Look at verse 44 through 48. Then he said to them, Jesus speaking now, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Jesus is now making this appearance post-resurrection to his disciples, and you see here that He points out a couple of things. First of all, he tells them, he says, look, you got to understand, this is all fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We know, of course, now, 2,000 years later, that there was Old Testament prophecy, hundreds of prophecies that was made over a span of hundreds of years. And the death, burial, resurrection, Jesus himself is saying here, is a fulfillment of that Old Testament scripture. And then he also reminds them, he's saying, look, guys, I would have loved been there in this conversation. And look, don't be surprised. I told you guys about this. We talked about this, disciples, during the earthly ministry. This resurrection, this fulfillment of scriptures, and then the teaching of Jesus to his disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection. But lastly, he also explains that this was all God's plan. The disciples might have forgot the Old Testament prophecy or didn't know it, and they might have forgot those conversations they had with Jesus. But he says here now, listen, guys, this is basically the fundamental plan of God here. There was a death and a resurrection so that there could be forgiveness. Jesus himself says here that it was necessary. It was necessary, he says, for Jesus to suffer and die and to be raised from the dead on the third day. And because of that resurrection, we have victory over several things. I want to part right here for a moment and talk about the things that we have victory over. We sing about victory in Jesus, so what is it we have victory over? I want to mention several things here real quick. The Bible teaches that because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have victory over death. You remember Jesus said, "He that believes in me, he shall never die." That's a paraphrase. But listen, for the Christian, death is simply a doorway into heaven. When a Christian dies, it is simply an act of stepping over the threshold from this life into eternal life in heaven. Amen? So we have victory over death. Number two, we also have victory over hell. Not only is the doorway to heaven opened when you got saved, but the doorway to hell was closed. Number three, we have victory over the grave. When a Christian dies, their soul goes to heaven and the grave becomes a place to temporarily store our physical earthly body until the return of Jesus and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. So we have victory in Jesus over death, hell, the grave. We have victory over sin. Number four, we're free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin, and one day in heaven, we'll be free from the presence of sin. And number five, glory to God, we have victory over Satan. When Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, what? Just before he died, "It is finished." A declaration to Satan himself. For us as believers, the cross represents the thrill of victory, but for Satan, the cross represents the agony of defeat. Satan is a defeated foe. General Dwight Eisenhower said this, quote, "There are no victories at discount prices." Our victory as believers is the result of the voluntary sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57, we were just there looking at that chapter about the resurrection. In that chapter, Paul said this within the context of talking about the resurrection. He said, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see here, we talked about, number one, his appearances. Number two, we see his announcement. And number three, is Jesus alive? Notice his ascension. His ascension, verse 50 through 52. Notice it with me. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Notice verse 52. "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. This is Luke's version of the ascension of Jesus. I think normally when we mention or talk about or preach about the ascension of Jesus, we normally go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. That's where we normally see and read that story of the ascension of Jesus. But this is Luke's version. The ascension of Jesus into the clouds and into heaven. Now, prior to this ascension of Jesus going up into heaven, post-resurrection, Jesus would make these appearances, and after the appearance, he would simply vanish. You see that in verse 31 in that story about his encounter with the two men on the road to Emmaus. There was an encounter there. There was this interaction there. There was Jesus not only appearing to these two men, but spending time with them. Verse 31 says he vanished. But here, this final appearance, Jesus ascended. He went up. He went back to heaven. Real quick, let's close here. But notice the first time, the early appearances, when Jesus appeared before the disciples, it says they were what? They were scared. They were confused. They were afraid. But now here in verse 45, it says God opened their understanding. They finally got it. It all came together. Maybe a moment of salvation. Maybe a moment of understanding of what is happening here. But 2,000 years later, God gives us understanding through the revelation of his written word. Just like you see their reaction here after the ascension, the reaction and the behavior of the disciples, we have reason today. Because we serve a risen Savior, we have reason to worship him. It says they went back and worshiped him. They praised him. They live life with great joy. All of us today, I encourage you, we just celebrated Easter. We believe in a risen Savior. We should worship him and praise him and live each day with great joy. The king of rock and roll and the king of pop are dead. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is alive and well. We have victory as a result in him. Let's live a life in celebration that we serve a risen Savior. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the satisfaction that comes from being able to read about the fact that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and raised from the dead, the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is a known fact. God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your son Jesus to die for our sins, and he lives today. Help each and every person here to live a life of worship and praise, and may we live with, as the Bible said the disciples did, live with great joy. Live with victory in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.